Now, have a question for you. It's kind of got a series of parts to it. So, part one, what is the most difficult stain to get out? Like, you know, when you're doing laundry and you discover that you got some stains on your clothing or a tablecloth or something, talk to your neighbor. What is the most difficult stain to get out? Okay, part two. Part two, what is your best stain remover? Okay, so for me, anything having the worst stains or anything having to do with oil or grease?
Yeah, or
Kool-Aid. Well, maybe Kool-Aid for you, but I don't do much Kool-Aid. But like what gets me is like butter or mayonnaise or oil of any type. I mean, it's the worst. But what I have found works is the engine degreaser hand cleaner that you buy.
That
orange stuff.
WD-40 works too.
WD-40, but that's kind of more oil.
Yeah, but it's got salt in it, it breaks the oil down. You don't want to use WD-40 for oil, it's not oil.
Okay, that orange stuff or the Puma stuff, but I find that works really well on clothing. Now, one other thing for you. Has there ever been a time when all of a sudden you realize that what you were wearing was stained or you got a spot on it, you didn't know it was there, and then all of a sudden you discovered it? Have you had a moment like that? And when that happens, what do you do? Talk to your neighbor? I mean, that's just the worst, especially if you don't have a change with you.
Right.
And you're driving somewhere, you're eating, and it drips, and you didn't see it drip, and then you get out of the car and you realize that you got stains, and it's like, and especially if you're gonna be up in front of people, like, that's just bad news.
Yeah.
And anyways, been there, and I'm sure you have too. So, maybe that's the worst, is when you have a stain that you didn't know you had, and then all of a sudden it gets revealed, and it's like, wow, I didn't know it. Like you sat in something and you didn't know you sat in something, and nobody's saying anything to you about it, and then all of a sudden somebody does say, and it's like, oh man, like that's just bad. Okay, so yeah, super embarrassing. And so where we're going to go today is Leviticus chapter 4. And you can go ahead and turn there, but let me kind of tell you the focus of it. That Leviticus 4 is about what's referred to as a sin offering, or some translations will say a purification offering. And the point of this offering, the key element of this offering, is that it is an offering that symbolizes the cleansing of God. And the thing about sin, I think a lot of times when we think about sin, we mainly think about guilt. Like we've done something wrong and now we're guilty. But Scripture realizes that sin, it teaches us that sin is more than just being guilty, that sin actually dirties us. That it defiles us, that it stains us. And so when I sin, I'm basically dirtying myself. And sometimes I'm fully aware of it, and sometimes I might sin and not be fully aware of what I've just done, but I've still dirtied myself. And then later on, I come to find out, wow, you've dirtied yourself, you stained yourself, you are defiled. And so this offering, the sin offering, the purification, I think if that bus stays there long enough, we can count them for attendance. Yeah. So that's a key thing about sin today that I want you to make sure that you kind of lock in on it. That sin dirties us, or we dirty ourselves when we sin. We contaminate ourselves. We defile ourselves. And so we need more than just forgiven in terms of the guilt being lifted. We actually need the stain to be treated. We need the defilement to be cleansed, the dirtiness to be washed away. And so make sure that you're aware that that's what the sin offering deals with. Now let me go ahead and read it to you. And it's a little bit lengthy and a lot of details here, but we'll try to make our way through it. So Leviticus chapter 4, picking it up at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering, a purification offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the inner parts or is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them, near the loins, and the covering of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys, just as the fat is removed from the ox sacrificed as a fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the inner parts and offal, that is, all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonial clean, where the ashes are thrown, and burn it in a wood fire on the ash heap." Okay, so if the high priest sins unintentionally and becomes aware of it, it's made known to him, then it's like he is defiled, it's like the congregation is defiled, and so he has to take a bull, lay his hand on the head of the bull, and he's identifying himself with the bull, and the bull is slaughtered and offered up to God. He is offering himself up to God. And did you notice that not all of the blood is poured out at the base of the altar like all the other offerings are? That with this one, the priest is to take some of the blood, dip his fingers in it, and he is to sprinkle it. He's to go into the temple itself, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy area, and he is to sprinkle seven times blood in front of that tent, that curtain that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Okay, it's like that blood, sprinkling blood, is a symbol for cleansing. And so he is cleansing that area. And then he is to go to the altar of incense. And that incense represented the prayers of the people. And it's like his sin has contaminated that place. And so he sprinkles blood on the horns of the altar of incense, cleansing it. And so, and then the rest of the blood is poured out at the base of the altar. Okay, the same thing is to happen when it's the whole congregation that sins unintentionally. And maybe they sinned unintentionally because of the priest's poor leadership. And so then, again, the leaders of the congregation come and they place their hand on the head of the bull. And in slaughtering the bull, it's like the whole congregation is offering itself up to God. And then the same sprinkling takes place, where the priest is going to dip his hand, his fingers in the blood and sprinkle it seven times in front of the tent, in front of that curtain, and on the horns of the altar of incense, and there is a cleansing that is to take place in that blood. Now we go a little bit further, and now we're going to go down to verse 22, and now it's a leader of the people. So not the high priest, not the congregation as a whole, but a particular leader. And he may be the leader of a family, he may be the leader of a tribe, but a particular leader. Verse 22, when a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, he is guilty. When he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the goat's head and slaughter it at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered before the Lord. It is a sin offering, a purification offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. What is that sprinkling with the finger and symbolize? Cleansing. Purification. And so he's going to cleanse the horns of the burnt altar with that. Verse 26, he shall burn all the fat on the altar as he burned the fat of the fellowship offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the man's sin and he will be forgiven. If a member of the community sins, not a leader, just an ordinary member, if a member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, he is guilty. When he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his offering for the sin he committed a female goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, that symbolizes cleansing, and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him. He will be forgiven. And if you can't afford a goat, you can get a lamb and do the same ceremony with a lamb. Here's what I'm thinking about with this. When I lie, like if I fail to keep my word, do you realize what that does? It doesn't just mean that I disappointed somebody because I broke their trust. They were counting on me to do something and I didn't follow through on what I said I would do. And yeah, there's damage there. The relationship is damaged. Okay, but you know what else happens? I simply don't tell a lie. I become a liar. Like I have just dirtied myself by telling that lie. I can't separate myself from it. I have actually dirtied myself and become a liar. And that has damaged the community and it has damaged me. And it's like I've dirtied myself. If I steal, it's not simply that I take something that belongs to somebody else and now they're upset and they're feeling violated. It's not simply that I have in possession something that I didn't gain rightfully. That when I steal, what do I become? A thief. And so it dirties me to where now I am a thief. It's not simply that I did it, but I'm still me. Me has changed, and now I'm a thief. If I cheat, it's not simply that I'm getting away with something. It's not simply that I'm hurting whoever I'm cheating off of or gaining some type of advantage over. That what do I become when I cheat? I become a cheater. Okay, and so that changes me. That dirties me. That is a... It's like I'm violating myself. And if I'm putting other people down, yeah, that hurts them, but who am I when I do that? It's like I'm arrogant, prideful, boastful. Okay, do you see how when we sin, that what we're doing is we are dirtying ourselves. We are contaminating ourselves, and it's not simply that, oh, I'm guilty because I took something, or I'm guilty because I didn't keep my word and I lied, or I'm guilty because I cheated, or I'm guilty. It's more than guilt. It's contamination. It's defiling. It changes me to where now I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm arrogant. Do you catch what I'm talking about? It's like that stain has done something to me. Well, think more about it. That when I'm stained, do you see the repercussions of that? That not only does it mess me up, but it does something to my relationship with God. And it's like now that that stain is between me and God. It's like that relationship has been defiled. And so when they cleanse with blood, the horns of the altar, or sprinkle the blood before that curtain, or the horns of the altar of incense, that when they do that, it's a way of cleansing both the relationship with God as well as cleansing the person themselves, so that they're washed, they're cleansed of that sin, so that they should no longer be counted as a thief, no longer counted as a liar, no longer counted as a cheat, no longer counted as arrogant, but they're cleansed. And their relationship with God has been cleansed. Now, one more thing with this. It also impacts the whole community. This was the tent of meeting where the people would gather to worship the Lord together. And remember, God wants to dwell in their midst. He's camped out in the center of them. And so it's like when one person sins, when one person kind of dirties themselves, then it doesn't just affect them, it affects the whole community. How can God be present amongst us if we're filthy? And it's like, remember, God saved them and brought them to God's self to be God's people, so that through them, the world would know who He is. That through them, the world would be blessed by Him. And so when they've dirtied themselves, when they're filthy, when they're contaminated, then it impacts, you know, any one of them, it impacts the whole. And especially when it's leadership. And so the Lord is saying, look, we got to deal with this. And you don't have the detergent necessary to actually cleanse, to actually purify, to actually get the stain out. And so the Lord says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide a way for us to deal with this. Not simply removing your guilt, but dealing with the stain, treating the stain. And so what's going to happen is I've got a way for you to be made whole again, for you to be cleansed, for you to be purified. And you're going to bring your offering and you're going to place your hand on the head of it. And in doing that, it's not like it's taking your place to where it's offered to God and you're not. Okay, it is a representation of you. So that as you offer that offering, that animal up to God, you are offering yourself up to God. As its life, that blood is poured out at the base of the altar. It's symbolizing that you're pouring your life out at the base of the altar. That you're not just having the lamb slaughtered in your place so that you don't have to give yourself to God. That you're actually giving yourself to God completely and wholly through that sacrifice. It symbolizes that depth of giving to where you're pouring yourself out. And then that blood that the priest takes and sprinkles on those holy places, it symbolizes God's cleansing action. And see, this is the amazing thing about these sacrifices. We learned later on in Leviticus, and we talked about this, how the Lord says, I have provided the blood. The life is in the blood, and I have given it as an atonement for your sin. I have given it as a cleansing of your sin. And so it's not simply that that sacrifice and that blood represents me pouring myself out to God, but God's the one who has actually provided and given it. So it also represents God pouring His blood out to wash away my sin. Okay, are you catching this? That the Lord is the one who actually provides the detergent, the blood, to fully cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know, you're already jumping ahead of me, that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. that it's actually through the blood of Jesus that this ceremony is fulfilled.
Yes.
That God gave his son, and John testified, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so God gave his son, not just that we could be forgiven and have the guilt lifted off. God gave his son that we could actually be cleansed. That we could be purified, that we could be made new, so that we are no longer a liar because we told a lie, but we've been cleansed, and now we're a people of integrity. That we are no longer a cheat because at some point we cheated. We have been cleansed so that we operate with integrity. Okay, are you catching it? So, I don't know. When Paul writes to churches, do you know how he addresses them? Saints. Saints. He knows that they have all sinned, but he doesn't call them sinners anymore. He calls them saints. He calls them a holy people, holy ones of God. Why? Because they've been washed and they've been cleansed, and they're no longer who they used to be. That Jesus saved them from who they were. And so he doesn't see them first and foremost as sinners. He sees them first and foremost as saints. Separated unto God. Cleansed, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Just thinking more about Leviticus. I don't know if you picked up on it, but there was an emphasis on unintentional sin. So if the priest commits an unintentional sin, if the congregation commits an unintentional sin, if a leader commits an unintentional sin, if a person commits an unintentional sin, this is what you do. And that word unintentional, it can be translated, they made a mistake. There's different ways of thinking about it. But this is kind of where I'm at with it. On the one hand, you might really sin in ignorance. Like you might say something that really hurts someone and you didn't realize that what you said hurt someone and yet it caused damage in the relationship. It wasn't the right thing to say. It was a mistake. Your motives were pure, but it was a mistake. It's still damage. It still left kind of a uncleanness. And so what happens when you're made aware of it? When you're made aware of it, you need to offer the sacrifice. You need cleansed. You need purified. It needs to be made right. I think about unintentional sin in terms of temptation. That I gave in to temptation, but I really didn't mean to. Like I got up this morning and I wasn't intending to do that, and then temptation came and things just kind of happened and I ended up doing what I never wanted to do. Wasn't my intention to do that, and now I'm dirty. Now I've dirtied myself. Now I'm messed up again. I'm stained. The question is, what am I going to do about it? And then at some level, I kind of think that maybe this unintentional language is there just to protect the grace. That you can't take advantage of it. That you can't calculate it. That you can't play God. That you can't kind of think, okay, I'm going to do this, and it's going to cost me a lamb, but I think it's worth a lamb. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay, I'm going to steal big. It's only going to cost me a lamb, but I'm going to steal something that's worth a flock, and I'm going to do it. Okay, unintentional sin, I think this is saying you can't play the system. You can't take advantage of it, that your confession, your remorse needs to be legit. So at some level, I kind of think that all sin is unintentional, that all sin we regret at some point. And the real question is, what do we do when we're made aware of it? See, this offering wasn't to be a one and done offering. This offering was a way for God and his people to make their relationship work. And God says, I know you. And I know you're going to mess up from time to time to time to time. And sometimes you won't even be aware of your messing up. And then all of a sudden you'll realize, wow, I sat in that. I spilled that on me. I had no idea I did that. And all of a sudden you realize you're dirty again. The Lord says, I got you. Bring your lamb. Bring your goat. And we'll deal with it. And you confess it. And you offer yourself afresh to me. And I will meet you with my cleansing blood, with my grace. And see, that's what happens in Jesus. That Jesus died on the cross and made atonement for all of our sin. And when we are baptized, we are cleansed and we are made new. But you know, and I know that as we go through life and as we grow with Christ, that there are times that we fall, that we give in to temptation, that we have a setback. Sometimes we're aware of it instantly. And sometimes we may not have realized it until somebody says something to us. And I think about that in terms of words that we say. I think about that in terms of attitudes. You know, it's pretty easy to get a sinful attitude and hardly know that you got it. And then all of a sudden, somebody says something, you're reading, and the Spirit confronts you through the Word. But all of a sudden, you become aware, like, wow, I'm dirty. I've tarnished myself again. I got stains again. And now that you're aware, the question is, what are you going to do? The passage that Sister Christina opened with this morning, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? Cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Wait, did I get it wrong?
Yes.
Cleanse us from all. You cannot get a stain that the blood of Jesus can't remove. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that becomes the key, that when we are made aware, whether we've never come to Christ and it's like we're made aware for the first time, or whether we've been walking with Christ and we've been doing pretty good, but we sat somewhere and we didn't realize we should have never sat there, and now we're stained, we gave into some type of temptation, we dirtied ourselves in some kind of way, but now we're aware. Then what do? We come to Him and we confess and we offer ourselves to Him. Basically like they did in the Old Testament, placing one hand on the head of the animal and offering ourselves up humbly to Him.
Yes.
Seeking His cleansing blood, His cleansing mercy once more. And what's the promise?
Cleansing.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, not from some, not from most, but from all. You cannot get a stain that the blood of Jesus can't remove. And so we come to Him.
Yes.
Now, I don't know kind of where you're at. I know that we have all sinned. I know that we all fall short of His glory. I don't know what the Lord might be revealing to you. I don't know what He might be making you aware of today. But I want us to take a moment and to bow our heads and to simply pray. Lord, apply the blood of Jesus to my stain and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Our gracious and holy Father in heaven, wow. You have provided that we might be cleansed. You provided the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, pure, spotless, holy blood, that we might be cleansed, forgiven, washed, made new, purified, no longer stained. Thank you. Help us to be a people that is quick to respond, that as soon as we become aware of a stain, that we come to you. for that cleansing. And pray, Father, that whoever is here today and you have made something freshly aware to them, or you've had something on their heart for some time that hey, you're stained, you need to deal with that, you need to offer that to me, I got the blood that will cleanse it. Lord, in this moment, would you give the grace to invite you to cleanse? Would you give the grace to fully offer ourselves to you? And pray, Father, that through your Spirit, there be a witness that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have indeed cleansed and made new, and that there is no need to leave here stained. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For your cleansing blood.
Yes.
And that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No stain too difficult for you. We love you, we praise you, and by your Spirit we ask you would enable us to live a holy life that would truly reflect you. And that whenever we fall, whenever there is fresh dirt on us, in us, and you make us aware of it, help us, Lord, to come to you quickly, that the stain might be dealt with and that it might not fester or do more damage. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you.